Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 121. This is a song for pilgrims ascending, going up to Jerusalem. For those of you that have been to the Holy Land, you know that it is a very mountainous country. The Judean wilderness is a very barren place, except during the rainy season. There can be bursts of color and green, but it's usually very dead and very barren-looking place. And Jerusalem was built on the peak of one of those hills. And so when people made their way to Jerusalem for the festivals and feasts of the Jewish calendar, they would pass through the wilderness and make their way up to Jerusalem, which was over 2,400 feet in elevation above sea level. So this is one of the songs that they would sing as they made their way up to the city. And I want you to watch especially for this phrase, "watches over you." Listen for the phrase, "watches over you." "I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Now, Lord, we, as best we can, we just lay aside the distractions and the plans for this day. Whatever troubles us, that worries us, that weighs us down, we just lay that at the feet of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and ease our burden, that we might hear you speak to us through these words of Holy Scripture and the message that that you've given me this week. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are a teacher, that you come and open our hearts and minds to the Word of God, and then empower us to live it out, to respond in whatever way you say that we need to change. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In his very last sermon, only hours before his assassination in Memphis, Tennessee, by James Earl Ray, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached at the Masonic Temple with a fiery passion for 45 minutes. He poured out his soul. Those who were present among him, his friends, said that when he was done, that he stumbled and almost fell. He was just so spent from the experience of sharing his heart, pouring out his soul to God into that congregation. Among his now famous words were these: "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight," Dr. King said. "I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Have you been to the mountaintop? Have you had an experience in your life where you have encountered God in a way that changed you, that moved you, that maybe convicted you of your sin? Do you know a peace in your life because you've encountered God on the mountaintop? This coming Tuesday, May 29th, is an important day in history. It was the day that I married Connie 42 years ago. But 65 years ago, on that same date, at 11:30 a.m. in the morning, history was made in mountain climbing. Edmund Hillary and his guide, Tenzing Norgay, were the first persons to reach the summit successfully of Mount Everest, the highest point on earth. In his autobiography, Sir Edmund said, "I'm not given to emotion." He didn't write much about the feelings that he had as he stood at 29,028 feet. But it must have been, surely was, a great moment in his life, one of the great mountaintop experiences literally in the history of humanity. He said it was a great moment, but it didn't last very long. He hugged his companion. They took photographs for about 10 minutes, and though he wasn't a particularly religious man at all, a friend had given him a crucifix, which he planted in the snow. Then they ate cake, and they put their oxygen mask back on and made their way down the mountain for that long descent. What kind of mountaintop experiences have you had in your life? Have you had a life-changing encounter with God? You know, there are Sundays in this church when it just doesn't seem appropriate to me that we would have a benediction. It would be more fitting for us to just linger, for some of us to come to the altar and kneel in prayer, to contemplate what we've just heard, what we've just experienced through our worship of God. But as it is, most of us are watching our watches and we're thinking about what comes next. We're rushing to the car. Some barely speak to another human being. We go home to eat or run off to a restaurant, and we fail to savor these moments, this hour and 15 minutes every week in which we are gathered with God's people to offer Him our praise. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience in worship where you have left wanting more, where in reality you wish you could just stay behind, that you could linger in the sanctuary? You're probably aware of this, but this is the end of the climbing season at Mount Everest. There's only a few weeks of the year when the weather is conducive for climbers to try to make the summit at 29,000 feet. And this past week, there was a 36-year-old Japanese climber who was found dead in his tent. Only feet from the summit at Mount Everest. He had made the attempt previously. In fact, this was his eighth trip, his eighth try, and had never made it to the summit. In 2012, the last time he tried it, this same man lost 9 of his 10 fingers to frostbite as he buried himself in a snow hole waiting for rescuers to come to his aid. He tried one more time with just one finger on one hand, and he perished. You know, I admire that kind of passion, don't you? Somebody who has this longing, this insatiable desire for some kind of ultimate experience in life. In his case, to be on the highest peak in the world. To be willing to even risk death in order to have this mountaintop experience. Jesus longs for those kinds of disciples. People with that kind of passion. And people who are willing to make that kind of sacrifice. I read this week about a woman named Barb. And she had shown up to work on a Monday morning talking about the wonderful experience that she had had at her church the day previously. And she just said, oh, it was just glorious. It was a mountaintop experience. And a young coworker who overheard the conversation later asked her in private, Barb, I heard you talking about this mountaintop experience at church yesterday. I mean, what was that all about? Why is it that you attend church every week? He said, when I was a kid, my parents drug me to church, but when I got enough to decide for myself, I stayed home. And now, you know, I sleep in most Sundays. If the weather's nice, I'll play a couple of rounds of golf with a friend, or we might go for a hike or a bike ride. He said, but we don't go to church. I don't go to church. He said, what happens to you when you go to church? Barbara replied, "Well, what happens is that I go with an expectation that I'm going to meet with God, whom I have come to know through the gift of His Son, Jesus. God meets me, of course, in other ways." She said, "You know, when I'm holding hands with my husband and we're taking an evening walk, I feel the presence of God. When I hear my grandson laughing in the other room, I feel the presence of God." She said, "However, I must confess that most of my days are a blur. By the time I've cared for my family, looked after my husband, I've come to work and done this job," she said, "you know, I'm just pretty wrung out. And when I go to church, it sets me aright. It resets my week. It helps me to remember that God is watching over me, that God is with me, that God is for me." So the young man then asked, he said, "So when you go to church every week, do you feel God's presence? Do you meet God there?" And she said, "Well, not always, but I know that He's there. I have assurance that when we gather in His place, in His sanctuary, that He is with us." She says, "Not every Sunday is a mountaintop." She says, "I guess maybe 1 in 8 Sundays, I feel like I've been with the Lord." And the puzzled young man then said, "Then why do you go every Sunday if it's just 1 in 8? And she said, with a smile on her face, "I go every Sunday because I never know which Sunday it might be." Have you been to the mountaintop? When you come into this place to worship, do you experience God in the prayers that are prayed, in the scriptures that are read, in the sacraments that are celebrated, in the songs that we sing, these wonderful gospel songs that the band played for us this morning? This morning's scripture is one of the songs that was sung by the Jews on their way up to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, unlike you, most of you who get here in just a few minutes by way of an automobile or a truck, it took them days sometimes, maybe even weeks if they came from another country, to make it to the place where God dwelt. And this song was one of several songs of ascent that were sung by the people as they made their way up to Jerusalem. The hills that are spoken of here, some translations say in Psalm 127:1, "I lift up my eyes and I look at the hills." It can also be translated as mountains, as it is in the New Living Translation. But the hills that are spoken of here are those barren mountains of the Judean wilderness. Those of you that have been to Israel know they are indeed barren. They're more akin to a desert than what we might consider a wilderness in this country. And the city of Jerusalem, of all places, is built on top of one of those mountains. It is actually a city that is made up of many hills. And anybody that's gone and spent a day walking through Jerusalem, Marilyn's nodding her head, knows there are lots of ups and downs, aren't there? And it's even better now than it was in ancient times. They filled in a lot of those low places and have made Jerusalem a more level place to live. And though it is beautiful from a distance, these mountains were anything but safe. Not only was the journey treacherous because of the heat, because of the length of it, being perhaps at times without adequate food or water, they were treacherous because there were bandits that waited in hiding along the road that would assault those that were making their way through pilgrimage. And so the psalmist begins this journey, a journey that is filled with risk and challenge, that is no easy thing. It is not an easy thing for them to get to God, to go where the Lord dwells. And the psalmist said, "I look up to the mountains." He said, "Does my help come from the mountains?" No. My help comes from the Lord who made those mountains, from the Creator who watches over me as I make my way up this mountain. So the emphasis over and over again in Psalm 121 is one of certainty that God is with them, that God is for them, that God watches over them. Not surprisingly, this is a favorite psalm of people who serve in the armed services. It's in their prayer books that are given to many of them as they go overseas and fight in war. Since the earliest wars in our country, the scriptures have been a source of strength and comfort and encouragement to soldiers. And Psalm 121 is one of those psalms that makes a difference. Do you hear this recurring phrase? Did you hear it when I read the scripture? Watches over you five times. It appears here. This is what God does. He watches over us. He watches over you. He knows your stressful situations, your difficult circumstances. He knows how exhausted and wrung out you can get at times. He knows how difficult it is for you to make ends meet. But He is watching over you and He is taking care of you. These God-loving pilgrims were determined to ascend to the mountaintop to meet with God. Nothing was going to hold them back. Nothing was going to keep them from the sanctuary. These mountains don't scare me, he says here, because the one who made these mountains is watching over me. And I find it so ironic and even laughable that people of faith who believe in a great God who takes care of us, who watches over us, find so many reasons not to come to church to worship Him. I mean, we have so many excuses. I hear them. People will tell me, you know, I didn't make it yesterday. I hope I didn't miss anything. Oh, yeah, you missed a lot. Let me tell you. Well, I had a bad headache. Or the girls had a dance recital and we didn't get home until late. Or the ball game ran over. Or it's too hot. Or it's too cold. Or it was too stormy. Or I had to work late last night. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We find reasons to miss out. To miss out, frankly, on what God wants to do in our lives. What God is doing in this church when we gather for worship every single week. The pilgrim says he makes his way to Jerusalem because he anticipates an encounter with God at His temple. And he's made many sacrifices of time and resources and placed his life at risk in order to get there. I feel ashamed when I think of that and all that God's people have done in times past and how easy it is for us today. And yet we still neglect our assembling together to worship Him. Now in the Bible, mountains are a very, very important image. People still encounter God in the mountains, don't they, Rich? Where are you, Rich? You and Lynn? Don't you find God in all those hikes that you all make? I mean, you know, my mouth waters when I see some of those photographs you post on Facebook of your latest hike into the mountains. And there people still find the power and the presence of God. There's nothing like a hike or even a drive through the mountains to rekindle your faith in God. And from Genesis to Revelation, mountains are places where people expected to find God. In fact, even the pagans worshiped God on the mountaintops. They were called high places. You remember reading that in the Old Testament? And they were torn down by the righteous prophets when they called the people of God to repent, to true worship, to temple worship in Jerusalem. There are over 500 references to mountains and hills in the Bible. We ought to pay attention to that. It also ought to make us want to go out and spend some time on a mountain. To get out of our houses, away from the computer and our smartphones and the TVs, and spend some time in creation looking for the presence of God. It was on a mountain named Moriah that Abraham demonstrated his willingness to obey God, even to the point of sacrificing his son Isaac. It was on a mountain named Horeb that Moses encountered God in the wilderness, tending his sheep, and suddenly a bush burning that was not consumed was an instrument through which God spoke to him, told him to take off his shoes, your sandals. You're standing on holy ground, Moses. And then he gave him this covenant name for himself and a mission, a purpose to do something that no man could ever do without God. That was to go to Egypt, where Moses had been raised as a boy and a young man, and set the people of God free from 400 years of slavery. And so Moses went back and he brought those people, the Israelites, to the wilderness, to a mountain called Sinai. And there in a cloud, Moses went up to meet with God face to face. And when he came down with thunder and lightning all around him, he had in his hands the tablets of stone, the covenant that God was making with his people, those 10 commandments. And the people were so afraid as they stood at the base of that holy mountain. They just said, Moses, we don't dare go up that mountain with you. You be our mediator. You talk to God for us. Because this God is too awesome to approach. It was on a mountain named Zion that the temple is built, where these pilgrims in Psalm 121 are ascending, gathering to worship. It was on a mountain named Hermon where Jesus asked his disciples. He said, who do the people say that I am? And then he said, more importantly, who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you've got that right. And you didn't come up with that on your own. He said, God revealed that to you. God, my Father, has shown you this truth about who I am. It was on a mountain named Tabor where Jesus is transfigured, and the voice of God says to the disciples there with him, this is my dearly loved Son. Pay attention to him. Listen to him. He brings me great joy. And it was on a mountain in Judea where Jesus prayed all night. And as he came off that mountain, after being up all night in prayer, he makes the most important decisions perhaps of his entire ministry when he picks these 12 men to be his disciples. Luke chapter 6. And on a mountain in Galilee, Jesus commanded those same disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And on a mountain named Olivet, just outside the city walls of Jerusalem, Jesus ascended to the Father, promising to clothe his disciples with power from on high, enabling them, equipping them, helping them to be his witnesses and to make other disciples. And so the Holy Spirit was poured out because of a promise that was made on a mountaintop. And in the book of Revelation, the Lord gives John a vision of heaven when he takes him in the Spirit, Revelation 21 says, to a great high mountain, and he showed him the holy city Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God. The glory of God. Have you been to a mountaintop with God? Have you had one of these powerful, life-altering experiences with Jesus Christ? Whenever we find it, the mountain of God is always, it's always a place of presence. It's always a place of power. It's a place of prayer. It usually is a place of purpose where God is speaking in order to send you forth to do something in His name. It's a place of perspective. It just sets everything in its proper order, helps us to see what matters most in our lives. It is a place. It is a place of provision. A place where God meets us and strengthens us and comforts us and empowers us. I read this amazing story about Frederick Nolan, who was a missionary to Muslims in North Africa. He was being persecuted by the Muslims because of his unapologetic love of Jesus Christ and his teaching, his sharing of the gospel in this predominantly Muslim country. And he was severely persecuted, and finally it got so bad that they sought to kill him. And he fled to a mountain to get away from his enemies, and they pursued him. They were hot on his trail. He could see them from afar. He could hear their footsteps as they drew near. And exhausted, he found a cave, and he hid inside of it, waiting for the voices, for the footsteps of those who would take his life. And an amazing thing happened. A spider appeared and wove a web, a perfect web, across the opening to the cave in a matter of minutes. And by the time his persecutors arrived, they stopped and looked, and he heard them say, well, he can't be in there, because he would have destroyed the web. So they moved on, and Nolan survived to write his memoirs of his experience as a missionary in this Muslim land. And among his words were these: where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Think about that. Where God is present, a spider's web is like a wall. But where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web. And this is the assurance of Psalm 121. He said, I look up to the mountains. He says, does my help come from the mountains? He said, no, my help comes from the Lord. In his hour of greatest need, only hours before his life would be taken from him by an assassin's bullet, Dr. Martin Luther King was taken by God to a mountaintop. What happened in that moment, how he experienced that, no one knows for sure. But that night, when he preached before that crowd in Memphis, Tennessee, his life was different because God was going to take care of him. And if we invite his presence into our lives, if we seek these mountaintop moments, he will come to us. He will meet us. He will reveal himself to us. But you know, we've got to be willing. We've got to be willing to pay that price. So you're probably thinking, okay, have you had any mountaintop experiences, preacher? Absolutely. I've had many, many mountaintop experiences. And those usually happen because I am willing to spend time with the Lord and to be with Him and to give Him the priority and the place in my life that He deserves. It's in those moments that I'm most likely to encounter Him in a very powerful and holy way. It's not going to happen if God is just one of many things that are a part of your week, just kind of an add-on or even an option for some of us. He's got to take first place, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's got to be number one. We've got to be willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary to ascend to the mountain of the Lord, to be with Him, to worship Him, and to not rush His work and His way in our hearts. So I'm just going to say today that if you have a need in your life that only God can fill, then wait on Him. Spend time with Him. Don't miss worship. It may be 1 in 8, 1 in 12, maybe 1 in 20 worship services before you have your mountaintop experience. But if you are faithful, God will meet you. He will be there. As we prepare to sing, I just want to bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the many persons that came down in the 8:30 service seeking your face. And I pray now in this moment for those in this sanctuary who have allowed an indifference, an apathy to grow in their lives toward the deeper things of God, who've become accustomed to mediocrity and don't expect to hear from you, to experience you in an hour of worship, who are looking at their watches, just waiting to get to the restaurant so they can have some cake. Lord, I pray for those souls who need to re-enthrone Jesus Christ at the center of their lives and make Him Lord indeed. Lord, we are on a pilgrimage with You, but honestly, it's easy for us to get distracted and wander off the path and miss what You have for us. Lord, I don't want to miss anything You've got for me. And so I just pray this morning for Your Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And move on the hearts of these men and women and these teenagers and even children in our midst. And draw them into a deeper communion and fellowship with You. Thank You, Lord. I turn my eyes to the mountain. Is that where I find my help? No, my help is in the Lord who made those mountains, who created the heavens and the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we did in the first service, we are going to give you an opportunity to come for prayer with one of your pastors. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. If God has moved in your heart this morning and you would like for us to pray, then please come as we stand and sing, O God, our help in ages past.